Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, bright telling greedy. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. You'll find fire, you'll definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And you can listen in at 969 Cable Bahamas. And I'd just like to say wonderful Friday to each and every one of you. Those who work hard all week, I know you want to enjoy yourself out tonight. So please, you know, the streets are wet. Please drive with due care and caution and enjoy yourself tonight. Tonight, I know you took the time out to come and listen to the show, you know, on a Friday, you know. Friday's a day of partying. So for those who are listening, you know, in the clubs, I mean, some people listen to the sports bar, some people listen at home, some people listen in the car. I really appreciate you guys, you know, because I never know the show would have become this popular. Not that I wanted to become a popular show. I wanted to make a difference in the lives, change the mindset, understand how we could get rid of the poverty and the crime problem, find solutions for many of our problems that has cost the lives of many, and just to expose and have a good conversation on the powers to be so they can make amendments so that we can make this country a better place. And I just thank you all, and I hope that we have a wonderful show today. I have a special guest in studios. Before I let him introduce himself, I just want to give some quick comments on why Inside the Inner City show is so important for the country and the world at large. Because, you know, my whole personal life is built up on the inner city. You know, many topics that I talk about is my personal experience and many of people who I had relationships with, police. I've had relationships with judges. I've had relationships with former prime ministers, ministers of national security. I've had with some of the most influential persons and most powerful set of persons in the country. I've had an opportunity to meet, and I take that opportunity to see if I can make an impact for them to understand what we're facing in the country. And I would say, you know, I think the show also has provided a lot of information out there so that we can make the changes that is necessary for the country. And, you know, we talk about the police for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, the last thing we talked about last week was the fact of the student who under further investigation by the Tribune, Tribunal of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, they have done their investigation, come to the conclusion, I think they put the officer, the sergeant, on half pay. They have taken him off duty. Now they are looking on ways and how they could go about it to see how they're going to discipline him for an incident that happened on Facebook. You know, it's very important, you know, that we take measures like this because, like I said before, you know, the police are here to bring a balance, but not to abuse their power. And in many instances, we are seeing that they are supposed to be protecting and serving us. We are seeing that they actually abuse their power. Now, we're not against the police in no incidents because we need the police to do their job diligently in the country because, you know, they are our first defense, you know. They're the ones who go after the rapists, the armed robbers, and the murderers, okay? And they solve a lot of the crimes in the country as well. But we also understand that many of them, you know, under frustration and part of the system abuse their power. And a lot of occurrence they have actually abused the citizens of the country who sometimes are just innocent bystanders. And a prime example is what we saw on Facebook with a young gentleman who was a student. And I'm glad to see that they now are realizing what the damage they're doing because when you, as a law enforcement agency, you represent integrity, honesty, you know, and fairness. And in our incidents where we see the young boy was approached, the young student was approached by a sergeant and a constable, and within seconds he, you know, was assaulted by the sergeant and then arrested and took to the station. And like I said, on the further investigation, the Royal Bahamas Police Force Tribunal now is investigating the matter. He's before the tribunal. And I applaud them for this, for making these drastic changes because we have seen it over and over. And this is how you gain the Bahamian people's trust. You understand? Because we want to see justice, not just for the citizens. You know, we want to see where if an officer is wrong in performing his duty, where he is oppressing an innocent citizen who pays their taxes and he violates them and he assaults them, he should be brought up on charges. And the Royal Bahamas Police Force should not be biased. If he breaks the law, he should be disciplined, released from the force, and if the families of the persons involved in this assault, they should also sue the Royal Bahamas Police Force for incident like this because we pay their taxes. And I just want to say that I commend them for taking this step in the right direction. And we need to see more officers brought up on charges who are not doing their job diligently. You know what I mean? In other words, what I'm saying, don't abuse your position as a police officer to oppress. Incidents where we saw the police sergeant putting the cane on that young student. I can understand if that student was behaving in this disorderly manner, and he was saying things to the police officer, and the police officer said, excuse me, how long have you been here? I've seen you being here for a certain amount of time. I'm thinking now that you should leave the vacate this area, you know. And then if this young student was to say, you know, man, boss, I ain't going nowhere, or blah, 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 back and forth, and the officer tell him to go and he resist, and then I could understand that officer, a criminal who breaks the law, is trying to get away from the police and driving or running about in the mall and trying to get away from the police and, you know, and they help to restrain him in that type of manner. The type of manner that sergeant did to that teenager should only be applied when a citizen is not applying by the officer's word, and the officer also has to be in a position where he understands that he also have to de-escalate the situation as well, because that sergeant could easily dissolve the situation with that student easily without even having to put the cane on that young boy, because looking at it, you know, he didn't even give the young boy a minute, you know, and he said the young boy is disrespecting him, and we could see he was clearly not. He said, "Officer, I just reached out." And "Officer, you disrespecting me." See, that's what I'm talking about, abuse of power. Not because you wear a uniform and know that you're protected means that you have to abuse your power. That same young boy that has a family, just like you. We all live in the Bahamas and we all be humans here, you know? So I applaud the Royal Bahamas Police Force for being able to understand that integrity, honesty, and transparency is the code for the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And this is a measure that needs to be implemented to get rogue officers and to keep them balanced. Let them know that if they're going out there on duty, even though they're the judge, jury, and executioner, they have a tribunal of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. If they breach their position as a police officer, they themselves can be brought up on charges. And that's what we want. We want fairness in the country. And now we're seeing that, so I want to applaud the Royal Bahamas Police Force for taking that step. And I want the Bahamian people to keep on advocating for these type of incidents, you know, because only you can change it. You understand? And you see we're making changes. Okay, one last thing, and then I'm going to get my guests. Come on. All right. And then again, remember sometimes I always said that, you know, you have to do the full investigation. We had a report last week about a female, a week before last, made allegation against the police. You know, I think it was a black eye or something, or assaulted by a police. And like I say, sometimes people just exaggerate. And the further investigation, the police investigate that matter. And they found out that the woman was falsely accusing the officer in this matter. And now they're charging her for falsely accusing the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And I want to applaud them for that, too, for doing a proper investigation. Because there's a lot of people out there who are stinking rude. And I'm not saying this female is stinking rude, but we have us with our attitude. Some of us are stinking rude, and we like to lie and only tell one part of the story. And I just want to applaud them on that also, because we got one where we're going to get justice for, and we get one where we're going to get an next justice for, where they lied on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. But it's before the court, and we can discuss it. But I just want to give those comments. Okay, now I got my good friend in studios. I got Minnie here. I'm going to let him introduce himself. And we're going to talk a little bit today about crime always begins within. Now, and what we're saying is this, crime always, this is my topic, begins within. Within means in the inner city community, okay? How it starts, why it continues, okay? Why within? Well, let me tell you why within, and I'm going to let them do this himself. In the community that I reside in right now, we just lose 3 young boys' life in that community. The area that I live in is Grandstand, Nabokov, police headquarters. We have about 6 streets, 3 main road. The first main road is Lewis Street, which I live on. The next main one is Hay Street, and the next main one is Taylor Street. In there, we have about 26 side corners, Comfort Street, Anderson Street, Old Buddha Alley, you know. You know when Moses was told to put the blood of the lamb on the horses so that when the angel of death is passing through, that the angel of death will not stop. Well, in that community for the last 30 years, just about every resident in that community has a loved one killed in those corners, all those corners. My family, the Moxie family, the Roberts family, you know, so many, the Cooper family, you know, the Williams family, you know, the Thompson family, you know, all the families, the Bryans have been affected with some loved one being killed or some loved one being hurt in some type of violent offense. Yes, people in that same community, as much work we're doing right now, the better that community. So that's what we're talking about within. So you have a lot of hurt people in these communities. Not only in these communities, you have Mason Addition, similar situation. Bantan, right now, similar situation. So you have a lot of people who are hurting, and this is the most serious thing about it. In the community that I reside in right now, without evidence, the police can't charge nobody. But on the streets, we know exactly who committed the crime. Now you think about this. The people who commit the crime still reside in the community. And it's so close for comfort means that family members know that these persons, you know, are involved in the death of their loved ones. Now, one or two incidents was not intentional. But you can imagine living in a community where you're seeing someone who's responsible for someone who killed your loved one roaming the streets. But some of them, you know, holding back because they're not that type of people, you know. They're saying let it take its course. So that's what we're talking within. So I just want to remind everyone, that's just how it is in our community. But we have a good community. And most persons who are getting killed, you know, they are persons who are targeted. So it's not like it's a dangerous neighborhood. It's just that wherever someone is targeted, people will come from different areas or their friends will come from different areas and target where they're standing. And that cause you'd have innocent people get caught up in a crossfire. So the area is not dangerous enough. These areas are not dangerous enough. It's just dangerous for those who are having beef with one another. And wherever they go, dangers follow. And we just have to make the community better. So I just want to introduce my guest here tonight. I think it was long. I just want to get it out. I took so long, but go ahead. You can go on the mic.
Good evening, Bahamas. My name is Mark DeVoe.
Talking, Mike.
Yeah, my name is Mark DeVoe. Better known as my close friends as Minnie. And I also grew up in the inner city, but I discover who I am, what God created me to do, why I am here on earth, my purpose, and I made great use of it, and I was able to move out of the inner city, but my ties still in the inner city. Particularly, I grew up in Camp Road, and remember back in our days that, you know, Camp Road, and we call it Border, was always just have this tight family bond.
Yeah.
So that's how I met you.
Yeah.
You know, and like you say, there is an issue in the inner city, right? Crime in particular. And now we have police issues. I would put it that way.
Police issues?
Yes, I'll say police issues. Mm. Because we have to be careful how we word certain things, you know, because I don't want to become a target. I don't want you to become a target. And when we look at the issues right now going on in the force itself, right, it's a issue that needs to be resolved. He was talking about the situation with the student who the officer
allegedly assaulted with a cane stick. When he didn't even give the young boy a chance to even respond. And the minute the young man responds, he said the young man was disrespecting him, and the young man said, I just reached a saw.
That's a serious allegation.
Yeah.
You know, if you caught on camera, that's a serious allegation. But when we look at that, we didn't see the full story.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I saw that if there was something deeper than that, it would have been issued. It would have been broadcast.
Mm.
Right. But let's look at empathy.
Empathy.
If that officer was a parent and you were an officer and you put a cane on that individual's son, how do you think that he would react? So when we look at it, right, a lot of times we don't look at it from a vantage point. We just look at it from one side. Okay, yeah, I have the authority. I have the cane. I have the symbol of authority. So I able to do what I need to do to get my point across, right? And then not looking at the ramifications of what's going to happen next.
What do you mean ramifications? What do you mean ramifications? Go ahead.
Okay. Not looking at the consequences mm-hmm. of what's going to happen next. Mm. Because every action
is a reaction.
Have a reaction, right? Yes, maybe the officer in question may have a bad day. Who knows, right? He may guess had an argument with his wife on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? He may guess find something, you know,
mm-hmm.
Compromising with his son.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his son disrespect him and he couldn't per se chastise his son right there and then. So now he see
someone else.
Yeah, so
who are you supposed to be protecting and serving?
Right. So now vicariously he parenting this child.
Mm-hmm.
So all that play a role in what could have happened, what could have triggered it off. Not saying he was right.
Mm.
Right? I don't give anybody right for harming another flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give him right for that. But something triggered him off.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the anger
that was displayed.
What was displayed with that?
For no reason. This young man, he had no gun. He had no knife.
I wouldn't say no reason. He had no right.
He had no right.
But he may have a reason.
And
it may not be a justifiable reason, but there was a reason because he wouldn't touch him without a reason.
Mm.
But he had no right. That's the difference. So, when you look at the anger and the negative passion what was displayed when he was, I would say, chastising this youngster, I honestly believe that was an overkill. Because you already in a uniform, right? We still operate under colonialism. So, people still respond to a similar authority. When the youngster see the uniform, you say, leave, he would leave.
Mm-hmm.
Give him the opportunity.
To leave.
He would leave, right?
But do you have the right to tell him to leave in a public place?
You don't.
School hours? I don't think it was school hours. I think it was after school.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what time of the day it was.
That's true. I don't even know myself. I don't think it was school hours.
But whether it was school hours or it was after school, you still in a public place.
Right.
Right? He could have been standing there waiting for his ride to pick him up. The officer didn't ask him that.
He ain't asked him none of this stuff.
He told him to leave. Because, okay, for instance, when I'm picking up my daughter from school, suppose I don't want to go in the schoolyard, and I say, okay, wait outside
mm-hmm.
the schoolyard, and I'll get you, because sometimes traffic tight inside the schoolyard, trying to get in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask, okay, well, wait outside the schoolyard. So let's say that's a public school, right? What's that, CA Drift? What school was it? But anyway, whatever school it was, right, he was in the mall parking lot. That's a
public spot, place to meet up with other kids.
It's a public parking
and
lot.
And to eat and go shopping and et cetera.
Right. So the child had many reasons.
Bus terminal and all.
Yeah, many reasons he could have been standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girl who was with him could have been his sister, Could have been his cousin. Could have been his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been his little girlfriend. So, if, let's look at it. If that's his girlfriend, now, this young individual is scarred. Emotionally scarred. Mm-hmm. Because now, he got violated, per se. Let's say if that's his girlfriend, he had violated in front of his loved one. It's the girl who look up to him to protect her. But now he was demasculated in front of her.
For no apparent reason.
So now that's a chip he up the hole on his shoulder for a very, very long time if he was to ever get rid of it.
Mm.
So looking at that, he would have no love for officers. Now, if he do, what he would do? He would become a police.
And then take it out on us.
Yes, just to get revenge.
And that happened. That happened to us when we were on the streets. Many people went on the police force to get back at us. And, you know, we were the enemies. And, yeah, that's how it was. You want to take this call? We're going to take this call on Inside Inner City. Red caller.
Hey, school, J. Don.
Good night to you.
Yeah, man, I remember back in the 60s, middle 60s, and the PLP came into office. There was a lot of friction in the schools at that time where, you know, persons, especially some of the party generals, used their influences, you know, and moved things around, you know, to the spot where the authority, our school teachers had, before 1967, went out the window. And when that went, a whole lot of other things left with it. Now, we've seen the fruits of that. Now, it's escalated to the point where now you have to have officers in the schools, and you have officers who aren't properly trained or who are dysfunctional, taking out on children, you know. But see, we have to get this thing straightened out, because if we have a generation that is going to come up now and lose respect for what that uniform means, it's going to be a much dire situation, you know. And that same attitude those young African Americans have in the cities in America toward policemen.
Yeah.
We're gonna have that right here if we don't deal with this properly. You know, now I think I've seen some instances, you know, where cops are going around demanding respect. Yeah, you actually go around demanding respect, you know, and they just, it seems like some of them are triggered for some strange reasons. But I think I need our commissioner needs to take this situation in hand as it is now, because I believe they have hired quite a number of persons who are not supposed to be on the force. They ain't supposed to be on the force in no way. You know, they probably could go as high as being security, you know, but nothing else. Yeah, that's good. Yes. Anyway, hey, I'm on, you know, when the boy was saying about, you know, his main phrase, you know, it like could have been, you know, see what you caused me to. But it ain't that, you know. It's probably just somebody just waiting to be triggered.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, it's good. Anyway, man, you all have a good evening, buddy.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks, God.
Yeah, man.
A lot for calling in. Yeah, you know, and like I say, you know, it's not a talk on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Listen to me. We are in a conflict zone, okay? Anyone can tell you. You can't use violence against violence. Right now, we are at risk, okay? Remember I said earlier on the show how many people have been killed and how many families have been affected in that one small community. And if we go, like I said, if we go Baintown, we go Yellow Well, we go all about Rana, some new province, you would see it's particularly that same issue just about every corner we go through. So what you have is a lot of dysfunctional homes, dysfunctional families, right? At-risk young youths. And now what are we going to do? What we've been doing for the last 40 years. You try with us. Okay? And when I say you try with us, let me show you when you try with us. Let me give you some names. Back when I was tugging on the road, we had the Gun Dogs, Donkey, Maran Mortimer, he's deceased. Choo Choo, he was on the Defense Force, he's deceased. He was a Gun Dog leader. Bean Boy, the son, he had a son named Ben Boy. He was one of the leaders in the latest gang. Both of them are dead, okay, and many other guys in Baintown. And then you got some guys like who still live in the day, like who are leaders, but now are doing good community work, like AKA Kelsey Lundy, down the road, Scrooge. You have Franz, you know, you have Crooked Marvin Bodie, who lives on top of Mason, Addition Hill. You know, we had a Linton Butler. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. Then on our end, you had Simon Mushe McKenzie. You had Willis brother. Both of them got killed, you know. You had Bodyguard Fernanda. He got killed. You had Lem Fernanda. He got killed. So the police came at us. Then you had Stephen Dye Stubbs, who just was coming up, you know. And these were all of us were top gangsters. You had my friend, Nasty, Angelo Brennan. You know, you had Sluggo down East Street. You had Plywood. You had Ass down East Street. You know, and Mason, and Baintown, you had Blackers, he's still living today. You had Bite Out Samuel Nen. You know, so the police tactic was, and most of us were at-risk kids, you know. This was a drug academic time, and we destroyed the family structures. And we were just teenagers growing up, 12, 13, 14, 15. And all of us was involved in gangs, violent crimes. Many of us went into armed robbery, some of us do murders, some of us went into thief, and some of us went into selling drugs. So the police strategy was to come full force without any rehabilitation. And they were very aggressive because crime started to increase. You know, the murder count was around the time was like 25. Then it started to go to 35 and 45 and 55 and 66 and 77. So I stopped doing foolishness around when the murder count got like 77, 88. So that's like around in 2000, getting 2007, 2008. Then it expanded and it hit the 100. So around that time, you know, we had our time, so we fading out. But the police strategy was to come full force and just to apprehend. And when they came, you know, it was just pure brutalization. You understand? I don't care where it was. They would attack us. And some of us had to be very aggressive. Not only that, when we hit the stations, you know, like I said, there are many respectful police officers who I know, you know, who didn't treat me bad. But what I witnessed in my eyes, you know, and I've been locked up over what? I'd say over 1,000 times in the station. You understand that some time I was locked up for so many different stuff. You know what I mean, Minnie? And they just came at us with full force. And we would just keep on getting locked up, put in prison. Prison officers, they didn't know nothing but no rehabilitation. They were brutally treating those who were sent to prison terribly. And it still goes on today. And that causes a lot of repeated offenders. And that's why we have this round circle where the repeated offenders come back on the streets. Hey, some will get killed, but before they get killed, they do some serious damage on the streets, and then some of them will go right back to prison because they love prison. And that's what we're talking about. So the police came like that. And what we did, we started to say, you know what? The police is our enemy. And many of us start to build animosity against the police. And many of us start to shoot at the police. You know what I mean? And starting to fight the police. Starting to move no more and had riots and all kind of stuff. And now we see today, we head in that direction again. Go ahead, Minnie.
Yeah, I remember those days also, and it was called the House of Ben.
That's the bus.
Yeah, that big blue bus
thing. And what they do when they come around?
Oh, they come there and they do damage.
And this is what the police bus name. The police bus, the red and white bus, they call House of Pain.
Yeah.
And when they come around and that about 50, 30 police, and you get a hold of the bus, you get brutalized. And this is what was happening to Bahamian citizens, especially teenagers.
So,
call the company with soon as you finish. Go ahead.
All right, so what was happening back then? That's when they was addressing the gang epidemic.
Right.
But it's so amazing that those who are put in place to uphold the law, right, don't know the law. And when you realize what the law is, what your constitutional rights are as a Bahamian citizen, right, and you will realize how much violations these officers actually commit every day with you, right? So I encourage everybody to study the Constitution, know your rights as a Bahamian citizen, because a lot of these things, what's happening right now, is a violation of your right as a citizen, right? You have the Constitution that you're supposed to uphold. You have the Penal Code, right? But if you will support the Constitution right now and you look at the Constitution, many of these acts were these officers committing because they saying you ignorant, you don't know. So they'll abuse it. They'll use it against you, right? As simple as, let's look at something very, very simple, conflict resolution, right? You have an officer come there, right? He came to resolve a conflict, but he have no training in conflict resolution. So now your wife call the officer on you. The first thing he come in there to do is arrest you. He ain't coming to ask no questions. He ain't coming there to say nothing. And it's happening over and over. First person to the station make a complaint, the next one get arrested. And there is no in-depth investigation on what's going on, what's the reason why. Nobody would just wake up and say, okay, I will do this to somebody. Reasons behind, right? They may not have a right, but there are reasons. So what about provocation? That's also a crime. But we don't look at it like
what
that.
What is provocation?
Provoking.
Wow, don't police provoke you sometimes?
That's provocation.
Like sometimes, like what happened to me? When I said, good morning, officer. Officer, shut up. Get on the ground. I say, excuse me, officer. You hear what they say? I say, officer, what I do? Officer, shut your app up. Get your app up. And I said, officer, you can't talk me that way. And then I asked one.
You are an antagonist now.
Yeah.
So when you look at an incident like that, right, he trying to instill fear in you because he know you don't fear him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he were not an officer, he know that no way under God, great son, that he could approach you like that.
Mm.
So because he indirectly fear you, right, and he trying to instill his fear on you that whenever you see him, you would say, okay, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, oh, I would respect you. But the respect is never, ever, ever instilled. It's only hatred, it's fair. It's only hatred and it's, sorry, not fair, it's retaliation, right? I can't say too much on the radio.
You're saying a lot. We can take this call. Go ahead, call out your own inside the inner city. Call, are you there? I think they left. Yeah, and like I say, you know, we have to make these amendments because we dealing with a high risk of violence in the country. Look at us around us, people. You know, we are only destroying one another in this country. You know, we want a police force where we can interact. We want community policing. The last resort should be when we have criminal officers, like criminal investigation officers, is when we have serious crimes where murders occur, armed robberies occur, okay? And the officers are for that. But some of these matters where we are seeing, you know, people just get pulled over for traffic violation. And then you see these people end up before the court with disorderly behavior, resisting arrest, wasted the court time. Because, like you say, provocation from some of the officers. And again, some of the citizens also do provocation. You know, but if the officers is in the right, I with the officers. If the citizens in the right, I with the citizens, you know. Not to be biased, because like I say, it's a tricky situation because we have so many unruly people, you know. But like I said, we have so many rogue officers on the force that incite a lot of provocation towards the citizens.
But then you also have Trump charges.
Trump charges. We talk about Trump charges.
Suspicion. Suspicion is the main charge.
Mm.
Right. I could be driving a Honda, a parcel, whatever, hot cars these is, whatever, committing all of these craziness, right? And there are just cars now for an officer to pull me over, right? They will say, okay, we come to shake this car down, search this car down for illegal drugs and firearm.
Do they have the right to?
That's a Trump charge, suspicion.
Suspicion.
They would say, I suspect you.
Dangerous drugs and firearm.
Yeah. It's a Trump that they could use.
But
they using it, but also they abusing it.
Right. It has to be where I have done a crime.
No.
So that's what I mean. Okay, I pay for my license. I pay for my insurance on my vehicle, even though it's a private vehicle. But I pay for my insurance, and I pay for my license and
but
my inspection.
There is something that protects you in the Constitution, right?
So if I'm driving, like you say, I'm driving my car.
What is?
And they just could pull me over.
No, what's your suspicion? Why do you suspect me?
For what? Yeah, and what gives them the right to search the car?
Was the suspect riding the same exact color? Did the suspect have the same exact license plate? Right? Now,
did I give consent?
That's another thing also.
Because it's only a traffic violation, I may just run a red light.
No. When you look at, they call it traffic stops.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we call it roadblocks.
Roadblocks.
You know, in the Bahamas, it's illegal to have a roadblock. So, but they call it traffic stops. So, when you look at a traffic stop, right? I remember one particular incident. I was moving in a work vehicle, doing work hours, right? On my regular day and going to work, right? Going on my job. And this officer, he stopped me. And he asked me the smartest question I could think of. He asked me, well, where are you going?
Where you going?
Yeah, a grown man like me.
Where you going?
Real. So I asked him, I said, you want to rephrase your question?
Where you going?
Yeah, I asked him, I said, do you want to rephrase the question? Oh. So he got out of it to me.
That's, now, hold on now. Hold on now. Hold it right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right now. Let me ask you something. You want it? You was want it?
Not that I know about.
You had any offenses?
No.
Any cases before the court?
No. But check this, right? So you're asking
about... So you was a complete law-abiding citizen?
Not even... Picture this. I am in a work vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Going to work in my work vehicle.
So you're not a criminal?
And he asked me, where am I going?
Okay.
I asked him, do you want to rephrase the question? Right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't play dumb. I asked you a question. Answer me. First of all... This youngster probably, he could be my son. So I say, you ain't talking to me. Right? I say, call your boss. Oh, no, I talking to you. You answer me. Get us a effing vehicle. Really? You really going to call your boss now? You ain't talking to me. Right?
You can't be talking to you.
So he pulled a gun. So the guy in the cocky saw the commotion going on, whatever. So him and two other... Blues came over and they was like, what's the issue? I say, you need to ask your officer what's the issue, because your officer asking me in a work vehicle during work hours, where am I going? Right? I say, should I dignify him with an answer?
You going to work? Where would work is?
First of all, no matter how I dress, what I drive in, he have no right to ask me where I'm going. I'm a grown man. Right? It's called a traffic check. He didn't even check my vehicle to see if I have any traffic infractions. He has asked me, where am I going? You know, and that right there is what we call the abuse of authority. And where use is not known, abuse is inevitable. And most of these officers, I hate to say it this way, but most of these officers just join the force for protection. They join this force for revenge, right? They join this force just for a paycheck. You have about maybe 5% who actually join a job to protect and serve. Because when you look at the way they do their job, right? Now they it's becoming now a paradigm at work. That, okay, this is what I see
my superior's doing.
So now my superior trained me to do this. I had many officers came to me, you know, one-on-one talk, and they was like, okay, well, one thing we learned in our training that the police are always in charge. I don't get police always in my house, always in my yard. They ain't in charge of my house. They ain't in charge of my yard.
And they ain't in charge of your life.
They ain't in charge of my life. And the mistake a lot of these officers make, right, mainly our government issues, that they treat this country as a policing country. This is not a policing country. Only because the police was the one of the first law enforcers in the country. So this is one of the only countries that the police are actually over the military. That's unheard of. Mm-hmm. We have a police force. It's supposed to be a police department. And when you see them acting the way they're acting as a force, mm-hmm. not a department. And that right there is the reason why they would be allowed to do what they're able to do. Never forget back in the 80s, was it, when the police had issues with Rastas?
Yeah, I talked about it a few years ago. I talked about it a few shows ago.
Right? So when that issue was going on, now, subconsciously, right, because of the stigma was put on Rastas, now they harassing everybody, even up to this very day with locks. The officers right now, the young officers, they don't know why they're offering these individuals with locks. They don't know. But they go right back down to when the Rastafarian movement decide, guess what? You touch one of us, so now we're coming back at you. There was a retaliation against the police force.
In Jamaica and the Bahamas.
Yes, because now you touch one of us. And not saying that it was right, but it was happening. Back in the days of, remember Lil Unks them?
Lil Unks, right around the corner.
Yeah.
I used to go for a cigarette for Lil Unks. That's who I watch.
Right. Yeah. You want officers turning in their police uniform.
Lil Unks, if anyone know who Lil Unks is, Lil Unks is NASA number one bad boy. Lil Unks got killed on Wolf Road. He ended up shooting Basil Dean and raped his wife. He resided in the Bain and Grandson area. He got killed from about 30 cops, and all of them used submachine guns on him. So they riddled him up on Wolf Road. He was one of Nassau's baddest man in Nassau. Go ahead.
Yeah, he did damages. But when you look at it, right, in that era, policing was different, right? And when we look at the policing in this era now, right, it's like they still think that, okay, yeah, we still back in the 80s, yeah. We still back in the 70s, we still back even in the 90s. Like, all of that was a different era, would require a different strategy of policing. But now, we have social media now,
mm-hmm.
and we're supposed to have freedom of
information,
freedom of phone. I watch over and over and over. You try to record a situation with officers and they either arrest you or they take your phone. I watch it.
But they say it's not against the law?
It's not. But is it? which law? We supposed to have a freedom of a speech, right? We are a democracy, but are we? We are just liberated. We never free.
Mm.
Because now the powers that be that's supposed to be able to protect us, also oppressing us.
Yeah.
They suppressing us. And now we going back in a regression. Because now if the public at large have too much information, then
talk, my brother.
Then the government now becomes vulnerable. And everything going on right now, especially our policing issue, is political. I don't mean political as, okay, it's FNM doing this or PLP doing this. No. I don't mean it that way. I mean political as that the powers that be calling the shots.
So that means you're saying that, I always say it too, you know, not that you're saying it, but I'm going to back up what you're saying. Hope I interpret it right. What you're saying is that, yes, Clayton Fernando might be the commissioner of police. He might deserve it, but there are other officers who probably were more qualified for the job, but because he is in a particular party, he was appointed the position over others. And we have that going on with many people not being promoted because, you know, they're not part of a political party or they are part of a political party. We are seeing that with Marvin Dames and former Commissioner of Police, Alison Greenslade, who is now ambassador. Marvin Dames was also a former minister of national security. And we saw them fighting on border war in two political parties. And they were sent off. So that's what you're referring to. And this, I hear this every day about officers who saying, you know, if I was given this position, I could do a good job, but I know I'm not going to get it, you know. And party is, we saw it with the Governor General, Cynthia Mutter Pratt. I stated it a few months ago that, you know, every political party that comes in would put their Governor General in place. We saw that, you know, this one, Richie Levy, he resigned on Mutter Pratt, which, and she's deserving of it. But like I said,
it's a chess game.
It's a chess game. We can take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hello.
Good night.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Brown.
I'm fine.
Okay. Let me say something. So, good day to your guest also. I know you know. I met him also.
You met him, DeMarco?
Yes. Good day. Let me say this, right? Because a lot of times, because we asked a higher rank in the police force to assist us in trying to curb this problem in reference to what you're all speaking about, right? About the citizens and the police being able to communicate with one another and the police being respectful to the citizens. See, the thing about it, the Commissioner of Police has the same privilege as what a prime minister would have, and all of them almost basically enter the same school, basically the same training. They may have advanced themselves when they got out of training. The training only takes you to one particular training. Training is not a college like similar to when you go to COB. You get a master's, you get a bachelor's, you get a certain degrees that would stipulate or state that you're more qualified than the man only a constable. But that does not happen on the police force. What happens is you could enter the police force, but you have to enter at the rank as a constable and work your way up. So that really doesn't have anything to do with any common sense or any qualification. If you're a big bad bull, you could end up being the commissioner of police because there's no qualification, far as I know, to be a commissioner of police. And that's why we have in the problem we have in today. If you had standards, and then you would think that standard may have give you points of some bit of common sense. But seeing that they don't have that, the commissioner is almost like the prime minister. Mm. He only ahead of them, but he really isn't in control of them. Just like how you see members of parliament want to do. And then they pretend that only the citizens are in this. But the politicians, they themselves know what is going on. Sometimes the news reaches them first. But what they do to try to protect their organizations as leaders, because they don't want to say, they know whatever the officers do, the head can get blamed. So before they attack their own and get rid of their own for doing wrong, they sort of like do it in a comfortable way. And I can tell you, the police officers with pass out from police college, the only thing about them different than the commissioner of police is that he's the commissioner and they're not.
Okay.
As far as any discipline is concerned, he don't have the slightest idea how to discipline them. I don't want him to play that game because, you know, based upon what you're saying and what a lot of people are saying, obviously he don't have the slightest. He need to tell the public how is it. And just like how they have like manifestos and different things, he's have a police planning, but he don't never have no police plan to get rid of the bad officers.
Oh.
I've never heard a plan to get rid of the bad officers. I've never heard a plan to have a police complaint unit that is not based upon police officers, but it's based upon civilians only. You don't need no police officers. Let me tell you why you don't need no police officers, and I can hang up. Let me tell you why you don't need no police officers. If you need 12 juries who never been to school, a jury don't have to show a graduation certificate to be a juror. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
No, they don't. So I said that to say this. You have 12 of them could decide that a man live or die. They never been to school in their own life. All they really doing is hearing what you have to say and decide whether or not they believe you or not. None of them never schooled for that, never went to school, and never got paid for that. So if they could do that with a man to hang him, why in the world they can't do that to a police officer who's corrupt or not listening to what patients have to do?
Yeah.
Don't never look to the top to change this.
Yeah.
You'll get a man to the bottom to come to you and say, Mr. Brown, what they're doing is wrong, you know.
Yes, sir.
And I was there when it happened, but they was wrong, but ain't nothing I could do. But you get him to say that. But if you think the only way you'll get that commissioner to say that, if you stop a bitch that I entered in,
yeah,
and you say, well, mother sick it. I'm sorry they get this on video.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't nothing we can do for you because they got this on video.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
any questions?
I understand everything you're saying.
Okay, thank you very much. So you all have a good day.
Okay. He knocked some valid points, you know. He went to the bone just now.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, It is true. Like when we look at every commissioner, right? First thing they do is they assign their team, and
their team.
Yeah, their
that
team.
Means that's the people who they cool with.
Yeah, they put their people in
place
in position.
So what about the other good cops on the force who qualify for the job, who might even be more qualified for the job, and could do a better job at some of his people, but never would get the chance?
Like I say, it's political.
Okay.
Right. You have...
So it's no merit?
No.
You have to be connected and be in a political party.
It's sad to say.
Wow.
It's sad to say.
But the phone line's letting rid of mine. What are you going to do, man?
It's Fox. It's Fox, right? And, like, right here looking at this, this is the statistics of, you know, policing for the last 2002.
Hold on. Let's get the statistical, then we can let you
2001, 2002. And I pull out this one right here. This is called police-involved shooting.
Police-involved shooting.
Right? So it never said, okay, what really transpired, these incidents, some of them still before the tribunal. They still before the coroner's court. And in 2002, there was 16, right? 2001.
16 police involved shootings.
Yeah, 2001, there was 20 police involved shootings, right? Now, here is something so disturbing, what I saw. From the Pandelet, this is an incident from the Tribune. This is a report from the Tribune. The latest report on human rights and the Bahamas revealed that there are 74 police-involved shootings that are waiting to be inquest in the coroner's court. So these matters haven't even reached the courts as yet. So everything now is still pending. So now wherever the risk is greater than the reward, expect the risk to be committed.
74.
This is what they released. Right? Now, my only issue with this is, okay, where are the powers that be to address such situations as this?
So right? Yeah, that's 74 families out there.
That's 74 families affected right now.
Right now.
By police-involved shooting.
So, 74 families. How many people do you think each one of these families have?
Who they look up to?
Yeah, just saying one family, if 74 families involved, right? And what do you think they get 50 members of the family, 100? Some, how much people do you think this affects? With 74 people to be insured, but it's not
astronomical.
It's the numbers, there's people listening to the numbers, and that's 74 people who got in police and war shooting. That could be anywhere into the 20, 30,000 people being affected.
Yeah,
with 74, because that's all around the country, and everyone has, some people are big family, small family. Go ahead.
It's always so amazing that every report will come true to the press. Oh, the officers were afraid for their
life.
Right. The very, very first time I saw a police-involved shooting, where the commissioner came on the scene, was when the three individuals were shot out, Michael.
Oh, right. The guys from around by us?
Yeah.
You mean, what's his name now?
The Shondos.
Yeah.
Right, so.
That's Ryder.
Yeah, this is Dogbite Ryder.
Dogbite Ryder and Spider.
Okay, so how did the commissioner got the report so fast? Right? How did he do his due diligence so quick? Right? To present Fox or whatever it is he present to the public.
And he ain't even gone before the coroner's court.
He didn't go before the tribunal. He didn't do his investigation to find out what happened. This was like literally minutes after the shooting that he actually was there and he given a report.
Wow.
I had an issue with that.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Caller, go ahead. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, what's going on, school?
Heading all right.
Yeah, and good evening to your guest.
Good evening.
I don't know who the buddy is, but he's the real, right?
What he is?
He knows what's going on. You and I know what's going on, Scoochie, right? Yeah. Hey, young man.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate what you're saying, brother.
Thank you.
I guess I older than you, right? I'm not the one, but listen to me, man. What he's saying is so true. You know, the human stories is what really counts, you know. And you know, the lack of legal counsel, the lack of financial, you know what I mean? He mentioned something, too. So I like what he did. He's sensible. He knows that you could just go into the archives and document what he's saying, right, Scoochie?
Yeah.
And so with the incident, as far as with the school child, right, he painted a good picture. The boss was the policeman's son. But the thing is, right, what stood out for me in that story, right, Scoochie?
Yeah.
Me and you could identify with this, Scoochie. When the young man said that the remarks that the officers was passing on him in the station, you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Me and you know that is a common trend, right, Scoochie?
Yeah, and he was...
And also to your guest. I mean, why is it that, you know, he painted a real picture, you know, this 5 BJC, 4 BJC, no GC. Some of them are very intelligent because some of them are under the force with degrees also. But they're the ones that needs to be mingled with the ones who are not psychologically qualified to be on the job. Now, I listened to him. He was talking about an encounter. And that encounter that he described to me, that officer shouldn't be allowed to mix with the public. You understand me, Scoochie?
Yeah, because he's
not psychologically or emotionally mature enough to deal with the public.
Because he could have served
high on obnoxiousness. Listen, man, I was in an incident, right? And, you know, this is only one of, man, I even, you know, I'm 59, so listen to me. Nothing has changed. And so this is an incident in Camp Road years ago, right, Scoochie? They came in the yard with my cousin. I don't want to call no name, you know him. So they thought they was always on to something big, so, you know, I can't remember that was Archie, but the guy had one of the officers had an M16, right? So they like to point the gun in your face and point it at you. So I was sitting down, no threat of violence, just sitting down, subjected to him. They searching and doing what they have to do, right, Scoochie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a violent person. He don't know me. But they hate you for nothing, so he got this gun so close to me. So I move the gun, I push the gun, I tell him, take the gun from out of my face. So I say, suppose the trigger slip or wait. And he can run on me, tell me, I don't trust the police. I say, big man. I say, you know what you mean about it? Why, you think he should just do what I said, because I didn't pose a threat. Why you got to point a long M16 at me who ain't have no gun? You understand what I'm saying? Then another thing is, when you're already handcuffed and subdued, you realize that once a police officer insults you, that's a crime. You could also imagine how many of these scenarios that this young man was talking about and what happened with the schoolboy if they wasn't recorded on camera, Scoogey. You could imagine back in the days what me and you'd be talking with Scoogey.
Yeah.
Scoogey, I could go back from before Sleepy was killed. You talking about Lil Ounce, right? I'm 59. I could get a brother, if he could come up drugs, to come on you. He was actually, used to be with Lil Ounce, and he was in primary school with me and my brothers. He was in seven of my oldest brothers, still living. Rod and Boy, all of them. Dawkins, that lives through Father Callan Corner, he's still alive today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no joke. And he told me something about my old man was at the shootout. Because I heard it come on the radio, walkie-talkie. I might have been in grade 6 or 7, but I heard it at the dinner table. He used to keep it in the front room. All right? And the shootout did happen at Wolf Road on East Street. All right? Windsor Park area. Because you remember the clipping in the newspaper. I don't know if he was old enough to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right? So what I'm saying is we have a lot of people that can disclose these stories because we could remember all the CID officers too. But, you know, the thing is with them, right? Some of them were professional. You know what I mean? Scoochie, like when you see people like Fergie and Evans, them and certain people, you know, like officers couldn't harm you or just do you wrong. Like they stood up for certain.
No, certain officers in the station stood up. Yes.
They wasn't obnoxious. Because some of the things I've heard officers tell me, you know, they were threatening you and all.
Yeah. You got some more.
And so the fact that the officer yakked the gun with this scenario, what the gentleman's talking about, shows you the lack of emotional intelligence and the audacity with their obnoxiousness. It's really frightening. So we said something very profound too. So, but you're not hearing any rewards for the whistleblower within the force, Gucci. You understand?
Yeah.
He said exactly what I needed to say. They're not making any efforts or any impetus towards cleaning up the force.
Yeah.
And even as I speak, me and you have to realize that, all right, let me give you an idea. You know, you remember Kenneth Gibson, right, Gucci?
Kenneth Gibson?
Kenneth Gibson, Shabba cousin. You remember Kenneth Gibson?
No.
Yeah, Kenneth Gibson, everybody should remember Kenneth Gibson, man. I forget his nickname. But he's like one of my cousins anyhow. But he was actually mixed up with the gangs from then. And so what I'm saying is, why should we be naive to believe that officers are not mixed up with gangs where people can say, go to this club and be partying this way and be partying this way. These sort of situations with Cowper and all other scenarios. So what I'm saying is the fact that these paradigms they're not creating in order to curtail corruption. And then you have the commissioner or assistant commissioner come on and ready to say they have a few bad officers. Man, that is total BS. And people on the streets know what's going on. Why would you say that, Scoogey? If an officer watches something happen and then he allows his subordinates, right, to get away with what they're doing while he sits idly by. What you saw happen with the George Floyd case, Scoogey? They were charged also, right?
Yeah.
Because they allowed something to happen and they should have intervened. This is what I'm saying. So we're all doomed. We have no rights. Mm. It is what it is. Mm. And speaking out is a problem. And so there's no such thing as democracy because then you allow this type of totalized government. See, even with the pandemic and all of the other global impositions, and the officers are quick to enforce mindless laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're actually so ignorant, they're actually enslaving themselves.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying, Scoogey?
Yeah.
They're fighting and helping enslaving themselves. They have no idea what's going on, but God help us all, man, because I'll tell you the truth. You can be railroad easy. There's a situation the other day where they didn't even allow a guy to see a lawyer or get a call. These are the things that they're doing.
Yeah.
Bless
up. All right. Yeah, thank you for calling in. And like again, we are saying, I'm just saying this to the general public. You know, we need the police force, but this is the Bahamas. We don't need to be like the U.S. You know, to call a call and talk about the U.S. You know, in the U.S., they have Caucasian police officers oppressing the nation. Blacks and people who are not, you know, of stature, and they are being oppressed. Now, we inherit this British system, this British police system. This system could be 10 times better. We could treat one another better in this Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You know, all the police that are on the force come with these at-risk communities, these inner-city communities. So many of these police officers are just like some of the guys who come off the streets. You know, I know many guys who are talking a little just like me. We send them on the force. I send guys, listen to me. Let me tell you all this. You know, I never said this, but I can say this. We send guys on the Royal Bahamas Police Force to join the Royal Bahamas Police Force when we were in gangs, just to make sure we have guys in place to watch our back, because we saw that the force was coming at us. That's what we did. We had a lot of guys in Raiders who joined the police force. We had a lot of guys in Bantan, like I remember Choo Choo. He was supplying the firearms for all the gun dogs, and he was a defense force officer. Go look, he was the defense force officer, and that's who was supplying all the guns in Bantan for the gun dogs. Then we had a few police officers who used to drop off firearms to us also, who they take off other guys from other gangs.
Yeah.
In the communities.
It's still going on now.
And it's still going on today. So that's why I say it's good to have a tribunal and a private sector of people like you stating that who are there to make sure that they can get rogue cops. Yeah. You know, and what we're saying is this. We just need to discipline the foreign discipline out of force. Okay? Because like I say, just like trying to tell the general public, if we keep it up, where the police are aggressive for simple matters, and the citizens can't even talk to the police and explain themselves to the police. Like that young kid, you know, the teenager, the student. And if he just said to the officer, "Chief, I just reached," and if the officer say, you disrespecting me. What did this kid say to this officer in that split half a second for him to respond in that manner? And that's the manner we're talking about right now that is affecting us all around the country today.
Trust.
And when you're supposed to be protecting and serving. See, dying right. We need community policing. That's why I'm part of the Neighborhood Watch. I work with Urban Renewal. And I'm forming that partnership where we get a police walking the streets, talking to the residents, helping out with home repair, you know, helping out with some at-risk kid, you know, helping some old person fix their windows on door. And then if there's complaint about somebody who's rogue and it's a stealing area, we can rely on that information. But at the same time, we have to clean up our community by also empowering our community and getting people stronger, more education, more empowerment in the community.
But you know? But like I said, the powers that be, again, like everything go deeper than, if it's deeper than the commissioner,
mm-hmm.
right? The commissioner answered to somebody.
Yeah, he answered the Minister of National Security.
Right. The Minister of National Security answered to somebody.
He answers to the Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister answered to somebody.
The Prime Minister answers to the UN Council.
The UN Council answered to somebody.
And they answered to the King.
Everybody answered to the Constitution.
Right.
Now, when you look at it, these laws are in effect, right? So when we look at most of the frustration right now in policing, it's because of the backlogs, what's going on now in the judicial system.
Backlog.
Right? Here it is. I know of many incidents where there was a shooting involved and the victim was arrested and charged for organized crime. You know, now they investigating this victim now because he was shot at. So right now, if somebody shoot at me, I ain't about to go report that. So, you shoot at me, think about it. The average person right now want to take it back in their own hand. They want to take the law in their own hand because now the system is against them now for even being a victim. You are being victimized for being a victim.
I ain't gonna lie. I never see myself walking to the police station not being shot at. I've been shot at over 23 times from guys on the streets who was just like me, and I've been shot at about 3 or 4 times from officers from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And never once in my lifetime have I ever walked in the police station and made a complaint against any one of those guys. What I did in retiring is what you said.
Now, here comes the vigilante justice.
Yeah.
Because you can't trust officers anymore. You can't trust the system. Because now the system trying to turn you right now into a criminal. Mm. Now you arrested, you sitting up looking at the four walls and be like, what in the world I get scared myself into? All I do is report a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And now I being victimized for the situation. So what the average person who gets shot at, everybody got somebody who got a gun. Or they may have a gun themselves. Not saying I invoking violence. No, I'm just saying this is what's happening on the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
Before they report it, they rather just go there, make a phone call to somebody and deal with it themselves.
Because the trust is not there.
There is no trust in the system anymore. Because either there is a backlog or they being victimized. When you walk in a station right now, you would have officers stereotyping you. I had a situation, this happened to me like just maybe 2-3 months ago, right? I made a complaint in the station. There was an issue with my dogs, my neighbor dog, my dog. I made a complaint. So I went to do a follow-up complaint. I walk in there. The police look at me and he was like, where's my ID? I say, I don't think I need an ID just to make a follow-up complaint, right? And he started cursing and gearing on, you think I got effing time to do this and that and blah, blah.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that goes on the station, people.
And listen, he extremely loud, people in the lobby, in the back of me, and I was like, this man don't even know what I come here for. So I say, sir, do you even know what I come here for? He say, you come to sign in, right? I say, sign in for what? I say, sign what? I say, hey, I ain't got time for no games. Give me a blank, blank ID.
You think he was someone who come to sign in for the card? That's all.
Yeah, give me a blank, blank ID, right? Sign the book and carry me blank, blank. So I was like, excuse you? I speak, but you ain't talking to me. So he came around.
You gonna beat you now?
Yeah, he came around as if he like he trying to now physically harm me.
Yeah, because he could get away with it in the station.
Yeah, he came around in the front, right? And the minute he came around, there was the officer who was in charge and my mother. And then she saw me. She said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I know him. So come this way." And I look at him right and say, "This what I come to the station for? I came for." For help, for justice, and to get myself in problems.
Mm.
But that's what's happening right now. They don't know how to use the authority they got. Now they're abusing it.
Mm.
And everybody have a job. And nothing lasts forever. One day, you won't have that job.
Mm.
One day, you're out of the uniform.
Yeah, we can take this call out. We can take this last call. We're completely out of time, so if you can make it real quick. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good night, Scoochie.
Good night.
Good night to your guests.
Good night.
Very interesting show, very interesting experiences. But, Scrooge, you said something a while ago. You, I think, said something that when incidents happen involving yourselves, that you already gone and reported to the police.
No, sir.
Could you say why you ain't do that?
Well, like I tell you, when we were growing up, we live in the streets and we see the police brutality and the aggressiveness of the police. And for me to go to the police station and report it now, just like when he went in the police station, if I go make a report in the station, they say, you're a bad boy, you come in there to make a report, and you're over there doing foolishness too, get your...
They laugh at you.
They laugh at you. And that's what has happened. So we take that out of our mind, and just that it was just, you shoot at me, I trying to get you back.
Okay. Well, now see, me being a former street, on the streets too, at times, I learned from some white gangsters. The best thing you can do in terms of protecting yourself is if an incident happened to you, report it to the police.
That's what you have just done,
and you've covered your back in the event that you encounter that individual somewhere else. You would have just covered your back. in terms of reporting it to the police officer, because then they would have a record of complaint. You have a problem with this individual.
Yes.
You see, so it's kind of risky not reporting it, whether they laugh at you or not, but it's very risky not reporting it.
If you look at most of the cases right now with the shooting incidents right now, most of the young men who are getting killed on the street right now already got shot out by their alleged killer,
yeah.
And they have never, ever reported the matter to the police right now.
Yeah.
Most of those cases right now, just the way how people get so rough and tough in this inner city community. And then the system, people cancel that out because, you know, it's not illogical for them to go and report a matter inside the station. It just...
Well, you know, Scrooge, like you say, our police force and all of our armed forces, we really need to be retooled, extensively retooled.
Yes, sir.
Because if you go to the police college and you watch them on a training day, what did you ever hear? They're shouting and cursing at one another. That's what the instructors instill in the recruits.
Yeah.
What do you think the recruits come out and do?
Same thing.
And it can't work, sir. It can't work because we have rural kids who are growing up in an environment where they're sexually abused, they're seeing murders, they're seeing abuse. You know, that area is poverty. There's no educational program in these areas. So what you think is going to happen when you arc in that same way? So it's going to be vice versa.
Mr. Scrooge,
yes, sir.
I've been in the military.
Yes, sir.
Right? And I basically expected the same thing over there because I was vying for the police force here too.
Okay.
Now, what the military does is in your first couple of weeks, they shout at you, they do things to you, but that is with a view to turn you into the type of soldier that they want you to be. Because when you graduate, and start to graduate in your fifth week and sixth week, you become senior. Start to become senior, then you start to see where you fit into the program, what they want, whatever you choose to be in the military and the armed forces. However, what I don't understand, how police officers don't understand, you see, those police officers, a lot of them in the States, just come to you and say, can I see your license, ma'am? Can I see your license, sir? Sir, can you take it over my boss? That is the flip side to get what you want. Rather than,
That's right.
You know, because if you be very polite and cautious with who you're arresting, you can achieve the same results.
Yes, you're correct. Being polite.
But I'll hang up and listen to your response.
No, you said a lot. You gave a good explanation, some good comments, you know. We have a few more minutes. And see, we had a good conversation today. I just want to say this again. This is not a talk on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. The fact of the matter is we're knocking some points that happen in our country. We want a better relationship with the Royal Bahamas Police Force. What we saw happen with that teenage student should alarm all of us. Let me give you a prime example. I think it was about 2-3 years ago, there was a stabbing incident at Fresh Fry where a young man got stabbed. And when he got stabbed, the police were there. They were not really know what was really going on, the police officers, but they did find this young man who had a laceration on his body. Instead of them giving him medical care, they let the young man bleed out. Come to find out the young man's father is a police officer. You know? You understand? They let him bleed out. Now, let me just say this to you. I witnessed this with my own eyes. I watched my friend James Charles, who was one of the leaders of the gangs. He got shot at Honeycomb Street. And I watched hiding in the bush, you know. Now, I say he's doing foolishness, all right? He's doing foolishness. And he got shot from a rivalry, all right? And, you know, you could see the bullet. So the police was on the scene. And I listened to the police officers. When they found out who that was, they said, man, let him die, baby. And they stand up right there. They say, well, damn, Dad.
The same thing happened to Ben, boy.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember the situation with the female I had incident with Ron Garner, right? You know, there was a lot of harassment going on, breaking in my house, breaking up my vehicles and all of that stuff.
That's a crazy girl?
Yeah. No, I said that to say this because the gentleman said, you know, it's good to make a report, but the report worked against me. Because remember when she got shot?
Yeah.
Right?
She got shot in the leg.
Yeah, when she got shot, I was arrested for that.
But we all know you ain't had nothing to do with that.
I was off the island.
That was her ex-boyfriend who shot her in her leg.
Allegedly.
Accidentally.
Allegedly.
I would be straight there. Everyone's ready to stand up.
I don't know. I was in there.
I would be stand up down the road. We saw her in the gun by accident.
Yeah, but okay, but...
You wasn't there. You had nothing to do with that.
Everybody knew what went down.
Uh-huh.
But there was officers, the hot bed, right? Begging her to press charges on me. And I was arrested for that. I got locked up for her getting shot. So she had to come to the CDU and tell them I didn't shoot her.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, if he didn't shoot you and you say you don't know who shoot you, how you know it ain't him? First of all, I was not on the island. Thank God for that. Because when I got the call saying she got shot, right, the person who called me, I said, oh my God, I get in lock up for that. So, oh, but you ain't here. I say, I know how the system go. I get in lock up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the complaints I had in on her, and now when she was injured, I was arrested over some stupidness.
Mm.
And that was an issue, that's an incident right now where complaints work against you.
Mm.
Because now I was the victim, right? I was being victimized, but now when the tables turned and now she was injured, I was shot, right? Same scenario. The officers heard her on the phone. Threatening me, say she love people from Freeport come and shoot me.
No,
remember
she,
that?
No, she had shooters.
Yeah, she had shooters. So when she made a threat to me, the officers in the station heard that and they asked the OC, well, what to do? The OC said, man, that's a lava squirrel. We don't get in that. Oh, tell them get something. Don't put it in too deep.
Yeah.
Right. So this is the kind of comment would they make, but right, I was charged for threats of death at all. And I promise you, to my good God, I never threatened him.
Mm.
Right? And I fought the case for a year and a half. Right? So, this right here is system or situations where we cannot trust the system. Because these systems here now to protect us, but it turn around and it harm us. That's the only charge I was ever charged with, of a Trump false charge.
Okay, we completely out of time. I want to say this before we go. What we want is like, you went to the station, you want to file a complaint again, follow up a complaint on incident with your dog. The officer asks you, thinking you is a guy who won bail. You're not a guy on bail. You come to follow up on a complaint you made on an incident, and he got agitated and he left from Ron the table, Ron the desk to come to you to intimidate you.
Yeah.
And to counteract that type of attitude, we needed out with discipline, committee.
And there was no apology.
And no apology was given. We need a discipline body of people like a tribunal who are independent. So have this in place so that we could deal with officers who go out of the line of their jurisdiction to take advantage of the citizens. You know, we just need to have something in place, you know, so that we could have be partners with the police, you know. Be community-minded police, you know. We're too small. All this is the Bahamas. We all people living in the Bahamas. There's no reason for us to be oppressing one another. Mind you, the uniform. You know, that's only a red and black uniform. That's the Roman soldier uniform. But we're in the Bahamas. We all be human people living here. We don't need to...
There's blocks against blues now.
You understand? We don't have to be like America.
Even you realize the young men in particular right now, we be in genocide.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we are being hunted by our own. It's the Willie Lynch syndrome rehearsing itself again. It come right back around.
Hurting all of us.
Because now, back then was the slave master and the slave master, whoever slave master put on charge, would manipulate you, intimidate you, dominate you, right? Now it's the officers. So it's slavery all over again. We are now slave to
our own system. Our own system. And we have to correct it.
But yet we're supposed to be democratic.
Because anyone in the situation could be your child. Remember that I said a police officer, son got stabbed by fish fry. And then he was held on the ground and the ambulance was not called in a timely fashion. I think an hour later, and this young man died, and his daddy was a police officer.
And not even that. If you got caught removing him, then you get locked up.
All right. I want to thank you for coming on the show, Minnie. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, the night on Guardian Radio. I hope you enjoy the show. And we'd like to have your show just to try and find solution for some of the problems that's plaguing our country. And one thing that's plaguing our country is we have to be able to set a balance with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, where we can have a better relationship with the officers of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Many of these officers come out of the inner city community. They are brothers and sisters, and we have to understand that we don't need to be taking advantage of one another, you know? And to the disrespectful citizen who be disrespectful for the belief, I just like to say, you know, remember that what goes around comes around. So we'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping.